اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام، تبارك ربنا وتعاليت يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله ولك الملك كله، بيدك الخير كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد، كما صليت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد، كما باركت على سيدنا إبراهيم وعلى آل سيدنا إبراهيم، إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد كلما ذكره الذاكرون، وصل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد كلما غفل عن ذكره الغافلون. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد صلاة تنجينا بها من جميع الأهوال والآفات، وتقضي لنا بها جميع الحاجات، وتطهرنا بها من جميع السيئات، وترفعنا بها عندك أعلى الدرجات، وتبلغنا بها أقصى الغايات من جميع الخيرات في الحياة وبعد الممات، إنك على كل شيء قدير. يا أول الأولين ويا آخر الآخرين، ويا راحم المساكين، ويا ذا القوة المتين، ويا ناصر المستضعفين، يا إله العالمين، يا عماد من لا عماد له، يا سند من لا سند له، يا ذخر من لا ذخر له، يا حرز الضعفاء، يا كنز الفقراء، يا عظيم الرجاء، يا منقذ الهلكاء، يا منجي الغلقاء، يا محسن، يا منعم، يا مفضل، يا جبار، يا منير، أنت الذي سجد لك سواد الليل وضوء النهار وشعاع الشمس ونور القمر وخفيق الشجر ودوي الماء، أنت الله لا شريك لك. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. يا ستار العيوب ويا غفار الذنوب، Ya Allah, forgive all our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive every single guna and sin that we have committed, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our major sins, forgive our minor sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have lost count of the amount of sins that we have committed, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, there isn't a limb on our bodies that is free of any guna and free of sin, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, but through your fazal and your karam, Ya Allah, you still allow us the use of all these limbs and all these organs, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we have misused every limb and every organ of our bodies, Ya Allah. Ya man ra'ana ala al-khataya falam yafdahna. Ya Allah, forgive all our sins, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you love to forgive, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you have the Zaat that is Kareem, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you are Rahim, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you are Ghaffar, you are Ghafoor, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you love to forgive, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, in the middle of this night, Ya Allah, we all are stretching our hands before you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are asking you, Ya Allah, to forgive each and every guna and sin that we have committed, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our parents. Ya Allah, forgive our wives and children, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive our family members, Ya Allah. Forgive every single neighbor of ours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive all the Muslims and every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we want to become yours, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we want to become your true servants, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, but nafs and shaitan have the better over us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you make it easy for us to fight against our desires, to fight against the evil whispers of shaitan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant us the strength, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the determination and willpower, Ya Allah, to fight away the desires of our nafs, Ya Allah. To fight away the evil whispers of shaitan, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us your true servants, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that we can call ourselves true Muslims and true believers, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make us true ummatis of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we can call ourselves his ummatis, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, don't let our actions be such, Ya Allah, that when they are presented before Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it brings taklif and pain to his Mubarak heart, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam be pleased with us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you be pleased with us as well, Ya Allah. Allahumma rida anna ridan, la taskhatu ba'dahu abada. Ya Allah, you be pleased with us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are asking you for yourself, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us your true love, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the true ishq, Ya Allah. Grant us that muhabbat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the muhabbat and love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, such love and such ishq, Ya Allah, that it becomes impossible for us to break any of your commands and to go against the sunnat way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, grant us kamil tawfiq of fulfilling the kamil sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, let the sunnat become part and parcel of our lives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let our dressing be in accordance with the sunnat, Ya Allah. Let our attire, our appearance be in accordance with the sunnat. Let our dealings and interactions with people be in accordance with the sunnat. Let our speech and our behavior and our akhlaq be in accordance with the sunnat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, let every facet of our lives be in accordance with the sunnat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, we have come to your house, Ya Allah, for one purpose, and that is to gain you, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us your true love, Ya Allah. Grant us that proximity and that nisbat with your zat and your being, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us that nisbat with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that link and that association with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, grant us the best of this world and the best of the hereafter. Ya Allah, save us from all the trials and difficulties, tribulations and hardships of this world, Ya Allah. Save us from all the trials and tribulations of the qabr, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from all the trials and tribulations of the hereafter on the day of Qiyamah and in Jahannam as well, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we ask of you to grant us Jannat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our actions do not deserve and warrant us entry into Jannat, Ya Allah. But Ya Allah, through your fazl and your grace, Ya Allah, as you have brought us to your house, Ya Allah, take us to Jannat as well, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we cannot stand the fire of this world, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, how will we be able to withstand the fire of Jahannam, Ya Allah? Ya Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us, save our parents, our family members, and every ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the fire of Jahannam, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, wherever the Muslims are in difficulty and hardship, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you make it easy for them, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those that are in war-torn countries, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you alleviate the difficulties that they are facing, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, those that are fighting in your path in those countries, Ya Allah, grant them victory over your enemies, Ya Allah. Let Islam be dominant and prevail, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, where the Muslims are suffering through starvation and poverty, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, you grant them the needs, Ya Allah. Fulfill all the needs from your unseen help, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from such trials and tribulations, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we are weak, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, we cannot withstand such difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, continue showering that afiyat, that ease and comfort in our lives, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from such trials and tribulations, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever has passed from this Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah, whatever actions that we have carried out, Ya Allah, though they did not deserve to be accepted, Ya Allah, but Ya Allah, crown it with your acceptance, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever few moments and few days remain from the Mubarak month of Ramadan, Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq of appreciating and valuing every moment that is left of this Mubarak month, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, this Mubarak month has been granted to us for the sake of gaining the taqwa, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant all of us taqwa, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us that restraint, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, that restraint against anything that displeases you, Ya Allah. Let our minds only move towards that which is pleasing towards you, Ya Allah. Let our actions be only those actions that would be pleasing to you, Ya Allah. Let our speech only be that speech that is pleasing to you, Ya Allah. Save us from all actions that will cause your displeasure and your anger, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, whatever du'as Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had asked throughout his life, grant us the good of all those du'as, Ya Allah. Whatever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sought protection from, Ya Allah, grant us protection from all those evils as well, Ya Allah. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min khayri ma sa'alaka minhu nabiyyuka wa habibuka sayyiduna Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذ منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Rahim. Sufyan Thawri rahmatullahi alayhi says, when the angel of death touches the heart vein of the dying man, he ceases to recognize people, he cannot speak, and he forgets about everything of the world. At this moment, were it not for the shock of death pangs, he would take a sword and attack those sitting around him in a frenzy of severe pain. Some ahadith have it that when the soul of a dying man comes up to his throat, Shaitan tries his best to lead him astray and rob him of his iman. A hadith says that Israel alayhi salam visits people during the hours of namaz, notices them and keeps track of them, and when the hour of death comes for any one of those who have been particular about the timely performance of salah, he himself prompts him to recite the kalima and drives the shaitan away from him. Mujahid rahmatullah alayhi says, when a person is about to die, the faces of his friends and companions are made visible to him. If he used to associate with men of piety, he finds himself in company with the pious. And if he associated with the wicked and evil people, he finds himself among such people. Yazid bin Shajara radiallahu anhu has also related a hadith to the same effect. On the other hand, there have been many beings who kept death constantly in remembrance, prepared for it and performed great deeds of virtue for the life of the Akhirah. They receive death like a person receiving a gift. As a hadith says, death is a gift to a mu'min. When the hour of death drew near for Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his wife said, "Alas, alas, you are departing." But Bilal radiallahu anhu said, "What a bliss it is to die, for tomorrow we shall meet our loved ones, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his companions." Salman radiallahu anhu was about to pass away, and someone said to him, "What makes you cry? When you die, you will meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who expressed his appreciation for you when he breathed his last." Salman radiallahu anhu replied, "I am not weeping for fear of death, nor because I am leaving the world. What makes me cry is that we made a covenant with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we would use things of this world in the manner of a traveler who keeps the bare minimum to last him during the journey. But I am afraid I have not been able to live up to the instructions. Yet when he passed away, he was found to possess what amounted to only 10 dirhams. Just imagine, this was all he possessed in the world, which he considered to be in excess. He then called for some musk, asked his wife to mix it with water and sprinkle it on his bed, for he said, "I am expecting a party of visitors who are neither men nor jinns." When the hour of death drew near for Ibn Idris rahmatullahi alayhi, his daughter began to weep. He said, "Do not cry, my child. I have made 4,000 complete khatams of the Holy Quran in this house." Hassan ibn Hayy rahmatullahi alayhi says, "I was with my brother Ali rahmatullahi alayhi on the night when his soul departed from this world. Once during the night he called for water while I was observing salah. When I had finished, I brought him a cup of water, but he told me that he had already taken water. I asked in surprise, 'Who brought you the water? There is no one in the house except you and me.' He replied, 'Jibreel alayhi salam brought me some water which I drank just before you came. And he was saying to me, you and your brother are with those unto whom Allah Ta'ala has shown favor.' The reference is to the following ayat from the Holy Quran, 'وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ وَحَسُنَ أُولَٰئِكَ رَفِيقًا." Abdullah bin Musa rahmatullah alayhi says, "When Ali bin Salih rahimahullah died, I was away on a journey. When I came back, I visited his brother Hassan bin Salih to condole with him. I could not contain myself with grief and began to cry. Hassan said, 'Let me first tell you how he gave up his soul. For that might soothe your grief. Just think how blessed was his hour of death. When he was in the throes of death, he called for water. I brought him some water, but he said to me that he had already taken water. I asked him how, and he replied, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam visited me with a host of angels following him in long rows, and he gave me some water to drink. Fearing lest he might be talking in a dream, I asked him, how were the rows of the angels? He indicated by a gesture of his hands that they were one above the other. When Shaykh Abu Bakr bin Ayyash rahimahullah was about to die and his sister began to weep, he said to her, do not cry, for I have made 12,000 complete khatams of the Holy Quran in that point, pointing to a corner of the house.
On the weekend that the Ijtima had taken place, there was a funeral somewhere in Lotus Park, just near here. It was a white convert, and previously had nothing to do with the masjid. But the Jamaat brothers, Allah Ta'ala, pleased with them. They made some effort, visited the person, showed him the respect. And this is how we're supposed to be with all Muslims, giving respect, kindness, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for no personal gain. They kept on visiting him, showing love, respect, and whatever kindness they could show, they showed him. Eventually it touched his heart. There was a need to transport children to madrasa. He volunteered that he would do it free of charge. Brand new Muslim convert. And he volunteered to take his children to madrasa. Now, with favors, etc., we may forget, but Allah doesn't forget. مَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّا. He doesn't forget. Allah Ta'ala appreciates, He sees the niyat. He doesn't see how brand new you are or you are old. He wants to see what's the niyat, what's the heart like, how pure you are. Nonetheless, with time then he became quite regular in his namaz from where he was to where he is. Right, a brand new person doesn't know much about Islam. But then the Jamaat brothers showed him kindness from one level to the other level. He became an Azan Namazi. This is life and the death of a Muslim. Inna salati wa nusuki wa mahyaya wa mamati. My prayer, my sacrifice, my living and my dying. Must be all for Allah Ta'ala. But these brothers have made their business just to be for Allah Ta'ala, to sacrifice for Allah Ta'ala. Their free times, they could have also been enjoying in their homes, in comforts, in entertainment. But they said, alright, our comfort is to make those people comfortable eventually. When that crucial moment comes, at that crucial moment, they must be comfortable. When it is the time for the culmination of all our efforts, it must be the most enjoyable moment. So, to make that moment most enjoyable, a few steps are required. A few steps in your free hours, in your free time, only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for no other reason. Allah Ta'ala loves this. You met your brother, It doesn't have to be in the Jamaat. It doesn't have to be in a formal way. Whichever way, be it that you had called him over tea, or whichever way, but you brought him near to Allah Ta'ala. You made him recognize Allah Ta'ala. You made him understand who Allah Ta'ala is. In your own way, whichever way, broken way, but you brought the person, you spoke to the person about Allah Ta'ala, reminded him. Therefore the hadith says, Allah Ta'ala loves those people. Al-mutahabina fiyya. They love each other only for my sake. They meet each other for my sake. After all, we meet for business reasons, for social reasons, we do meet up. But do we take the time that we meet up only for Allah Ta'ala? No other reason. No worldly, no material gain, absolutely nothing. Just for the sake of Allah, let me go and talk to the person. Let me call him over and speak to him. In so doing, we are protecting ourselves. We're talking to that person, but we don't realize that we are protecting ourselves. So Allah Pak says, وَجَبَتْ مُحَبَّتِي لِلْمُتَحَابِينَ فِيَّ وَالْمُتَزَاوِلِينَ فِيَّ. Those that meet only for Allah Ta'ala. And they visit each other only for His sake. And then, وَالْمُنْفِقِينَ فِيَّ. And then, they don't make their visits very dry also. They meet, they will talk. It's not a dry meeting, not a dry meeting. They'll feed also. Call him. Don't make it such a formal thing now. Hazrat is here now and just a very dry meeting. So we had some samosas, some rockets. Passed it on. He enjoys, you enjoyed. Something new, some savory. Only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Can't we do that? What warmth, what love it brings to the brother, to that neighbor, to that friend. The person called me, had something special, he called me. The respect he showed, the kindness. Maybe it's not much in his eyes, but it is a love, it is the friendship. Allah Ta'ala loves this. Mustazawirina fiyya, al-munfiqina fiyya, we're spending on each other. You got a bride, and there's a poor Muslim sometimes. Man gets that fragrance of the bride. Sometimes in Spingo Beach, when there's a bride on, and there's a slight breeze, then you're making ikram for the whole of Spingo Beach. All Spingo Beach knows, well, there's a bride on here. So there may be people that are underprivileged, they don't afford it, they don't have the comfort of this type of thing. Call them, if you can't call them, at least pass on some pieces to them. How nice don't they feel? This person, he enjoyed, but he fed me as well. He ate with his family, but he considered us as well. What du'as you get from the person, and from the bottom of his heart, from the bottom of the heart, recess of the heart. Really Allah Pak likes this. Allah Pak is very happy with this. That you are comfortable, but you made the next person also comfortable. You enjoyed, but you made the next person enjoy as well. So this person here, only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, brand new Muslim, the little bit of ikram they showed him, but they won his heart. Somehow they won his heart. You know, I'll volunteer, these masoom little children, I will transport them to the madrasa and back. And he must have been just doing this job for approximately 6 months or so, maybe less than that. And then he fell ill, hospitalized, perhaps brought back home, oxygen and all that. So one day he says to his house folks, just move out of here. Just clean the place, bring some chairs, just move out of here. Because they are coming now. It is the malaika coming. A smile on his face, they are coming now. Imagine a brand new Muslim, got nothing to do with Islam, except with Islam, the goodness of his heart, the goodness of his mind, purity, Allah likes this. Someone showed kindness to him, he showed kindness to the Muslims. So, it is not too late. This person just about a year before he accepted Islam, and this was his ways. So wherever we are, it's not late to ask Allah Ta'ala's repentance, correct ourselves, do something, something for Islam, something for Allah Ta'ala, something in the name of sincerity. Just pure, only you know it, Allah knows it. No third person has to know about it, but for something for his love. So Allah really appreciates it, and he thanks you and in the most crucial moment, the moment that you need him most, the moment that you require him most, then he won't forget you. مَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّا. He'll never forget you. You may forget. Lekin hum to kabhi bhoolte hi nahi. Allah never forgets. So as they open the way, say, now these people are coming now, the malaika, the angels of mercy are coming. And then he raised his finger like this and said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهُ. And he breathed his last and was gone. So Allah Pak was favoring in the past. He didn't stop favoring. Sometimes we think this favor was only for the people in the past. But he's favoring now also. A brand new person, kind, was good. There was some sincerity in his heart. There was goodness in his heart. And Allah Ta'ala saw the purity. He appreciated it. The time that he needed Allah Pak most, Allah Pak favored him. He required Allah Ta'ala the most. We had another incident some days later, thereafter. Maulana was supervising a certain madrasa in Phoenix. So the apa there requested. She says that I am also a convert. I'm teaching here, but I'm a convert as well. And I've got a brother in Marisburg. He's ailing. He's the last degree cancer. But can you visit him? So the Mu'ad promised, all right, we'll try and arrange something. If I can't go, I will arrange, but definitely we'll arrange something for your brother as well. Brother is in hospital, last degree, cancer, no hope to recover. And as was promised, they went and met him. Met him, they spoke to him about Islam, happily, with a smile on the face, and he said, no, I'm happily accepting Islam. Lying in the last stages, someone went and visited him. Say, Al-Mutazawiri Nafiya. Meet for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. After all, we go to parties, we go to entertainment centers, everything we can do. Can't we meet only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala? It doesn't have to be under the pretext of a jamaat or a gush, but just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Can't we take our family sometimes to the hospital, someone that is ailing, some family member that is old, someone that was a family friend or parents' friend, can't we just go and pay a visit? What joy it brings to the person. We can't go everywhere else, but it was a family friend, it was a father, your parents' friend, it was a family member, he's ailing, hospital, old age. And then it's all right, like we could be doing other things, entertaining ourselves for a picnic or whatever, but can't we just, in this entire trip, can't we just meet one sick person, one aged person, one old person, and then take something as well? It doesn't have to be expensive, inexpensive, some achar you've taken, some biscuits you've taken, something, al-munfiqeena fiyya, spending for the sake of Allah on people. Small little thing, but what it means to the person. Little bit, some achar, some biscuit, maska, something, you prepared something in the house, took for the person. So it's the warmth. It's not what you have brought. It's the warmth that you shared with that person. How much it makes, how what a difference it makes to that person. This is all what Islam about. You look at Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and as he had the first encounter with Wahi, so he was afraid at the time that this mammoth task of taking on this mission, will I manage it? Because I have a limited age, 23 years, and I must reach the four corners of the world, pass the word of Allah Ta'ala. Will I be able to manage it? So he was afraid about it. It's a lengthy hadith, but just to cut it down, Hazrat Khadija radiallahu anha, that was his dear, respected wife, our mother, she comforted Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam at that time, and she says, La yukhzika Allah abadan. Allah Ta'ala will never leave you. He'll never disgrace you. He'll never disappoint you. He'll never leave you. Because there's just kindness in you. Innaka latasilur rahim. You are so kind towards people, towards family. Taksibul ma'doom. Person is out of a job, doesn't have anything. You work a plan for the person. Try and help him or bring him up.
taqrid dayf. You show so much of hospitality to people. You're such a kind person. Now, the point that is to be taken here is that this was just the first encounter with wahi. So, what I want to share with you is that the kindness was shown to Muslims or non-Muslims. To non-Muslims. That kindness is not restricted just to Muslims. Even non-Muslims. Those that are working for us. Those that are in our labor. Those that are less than us. Somehow or the other. Can't we show them some kindness? Some of them are not so capable. They're not so talented. We try and help them out in some way or the other. But this is the way that we win people towards Islam. Our kindness, our forgiving, our overlooking the person's fault, his mistakes, his limitations we had overlooked. Just being kind to the person. Now these were the sifat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This was the first encounter of wahi. And Khadija radiallahu testifies to it. Then again when he comes to Medina Munawwara, Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu is a Jewish rabbi. And he's about the best, he's about the most excellent. He accepted Islam. Now he's accepted Islam, and then he gives his personal encounter, what he has seen. You know, what was his encounter, what was his experience like. So he says, that when I saw him, I saw Nabi Sallam, I understood that it's not a face of a liar. I could understand from the face. The face, normally, it gives you off, you know. Sometimes you are saying, you are putting a fast one with your wife or someone, right? But from your facial expression, she makes out, man is making something, right? Because she can see now you're squeezing a laugh now. You're saying something, but she can make it out from the face, this is what the person is up to. So they make it out, right? So, Abdullah bin Salam is such a learned person, educated person, and then he comes on to Islam. So he says, no, I can make out that this person is not an imposter. He's not a liar. He's not a fake. He's not a makeup. He's true. But then what were his first teachings? What were the first teachings of Islam in Medina Munawwara? Again, the first teachings in Medina Munawwara were the teachings of kindness. Afshu salam. Greet people with kindness, with a smile on the face. How good the person feels. A man greeted me. Sometimes you're the boss, but you walked into the business with a smile and you greeted the person. Maybe he's not so privileged like you are. Maybe he doesn't have opportunities like you have. Maybe he doesn't carry out the work like you would desire. But what it does to his heart when you, even when in a senior position, but you greet the person, Assalamu alaikum, how are you, brother? What it does to the person. It's a little bit of greeting, a little bit of a smile. And these are all the Mubarak teachings of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Smile at the person, greet the person. Does it cost anything? In fact, they say, as a point of health, it's healthier to smile than pulling up your face. For good health, just make salam, it's only for good health. They have proven, medically they have proven it, that it is healthier to smile than to pull up your face. So for your own good health, you don't have to go so much of gymming, just smile. Right? Smile at the person. What it will do to your health? It will improve your health, only for health reasons. Smile at the person, only for the sake of Allah. If you do this, how do you know that maybe Allah Pak will meet you smiling? You smile at your brothers for his sake. Then when he meets you, then he smiles and looks at you. Just correct the intention, smile at the person, make salam with the person. How good the person feels. One convert, black Muslim. So I got curious to him. I asked him, "And what was the turning point in your life?" He said, "No, I did a lot of things in my life. Robbed, murdered, everything. Then I took a liking for the Topia." Says, "I tried everything in my life. And I took a liking for the topi. So I put on a topi on my head. Because everything I experienced, now let's put this topi on my head. Yet I haven't accepted Islam. So now the moment I put on a topi and I'm walking, and I see some Muslim and he's called greeting me, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum. Okay, what is this all about? So I inquired what was the salam. So that meaning of salam was so touching to me, so touching. So, you know, this religion I must accept. There's a turning point in a man's life. It's salam. Assalamu alaikum. Salam and with a smile. وَلَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا وَلَوْ تَلْقَى أَخَاكَ بِوَجْهٍ طَلَقٍ. Don't underestimate any good deed. Even it may be that you meet your brother with a smiling face. That's already a sadaqah for you, a charity for you. Going home, don't pull up your face now. Hey, what's there? Then you start smiling. First, you see what's cooking and then you are smiling. Before you see, open the pot, smile first. She must have gone through a hard day, a difficult moment, but can't we show some appreciation for that poor thing that is suffering for us for the whole day? She must have had an uphill with the children. She must have had an uphill with the day's chores, right? But then the moment you're walking in, say, what's cooking? Right? Before that, at least show the smile, make salam nicely. Just cheer up a little bit, only for the sake of Allah. As I say, who knows, maybe Allah will meet us smiling. Just that for his servants, for the people that are lesser privileged, people that are weaker than us, we greeted them and we greeted them with a smile. So this was the first teaching of Nabi when he came into Medina Munawwara. Afshu salamu bainakum. Make it a common practice. Let the person smiled at him and greeted him. How long it takes you over the telephone rather than saying hello? You don't have to send the person to hell straight. Send him to salam. Salam is Jannat actually. Daru salam. So the kafir ways, they meet you and send you to hell. Our ways, we meet and we send the person to Jannat. Salam. Salam is Jannat. Like it's the name of Allah Ta'ala, it's the name of Jannat as well. So the first encounter and sending the person to Jannat. What a good thing. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Hafiz Ansar Hussain must say, Assalamu alaikum. So we'll say it correctly, Assalamu alaikum, right? But make salam. Afshu salam abeenakum. Again, the second teaching, Afshu salam. Wa at'imu ta'am. Don't make it dry, please, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. You're meeting, don't make it dry. Feed people as well. If you're the boss in the company, alright, you walk past the marketplace, you saw some good fruit, maybe those people that are working around, They don't have that type of comfort. You bought something and you shared it with them. How nice don't they feel? MashaAllah, the Lani brought this for us today. How happy doesn't he feel? Instead of wasting the money on tiles, on some new fashion or something, whatever, he bought something and shared it with those people that are working with us. How nice don't they feel? MashaAllah, what he brought for us. How doesn't it touch the heart? Doesn't it invite them to Islam? Isn't it an invitation? At'imu ta'am, feed them. It's a lunch break, you know you got something, you loaded a little bit. Now, every now and then running here to this hotel and that hotel, whatever, I'm booking here. It's alright, today let me spoil my staff. Though they're not doing like I would expect, but let me spoil them. Rather running around here and there, let me spoil my staff. So you bought a burger for everybody and you fed them. Burger or a Coke, whatever, cold drink. One burger, one Coke. What he does to that person, mashallah, he thinks of us. He thinks of us, he feeds us, he buys us a meal or something. It brings a lot of things in his heart. He looks at Islam differently, he looks at you differently. And apart from everything else, that poor person, uski dil ki dua tujhe milti hai. You get the heartfelt duas of that poor person. That you treated the person and treated him with respect. Love. At home, also this type of a teaching must be passed on to the people at home. That sometimes at home they are preparing something special, some eclair, some biscuit or something, some cake, whatever. The other workers around, the maid around, then pass some to them as well. But let not the male pass these things to the female maid. Let your wife do it. Because one thing can lead to the other, right? If the male is going to pass it to the maid and all that, then there can be some danger afterwards. You're spicing things up, then you don't want to eat up, right? So don't do that, right? So rather let the female do that. That ikram, we don't do that ikram, let the woman do that ikram. So it's all, these are direct teaching of Nabi. It's not from the West, it's not from any storybook, it's from Nabi coming direct from his, showing us his Mubarak charisma, his character. This is his way. Islam is not a dry religion. It's a juicy religion. It's an attractive religion. It's a beautiful religion. Umar radiallahu anhu, he heard of a caravan coming in to Medina Munawwara. So they're still at the outskirts. So obviously if it's a business caravan, it will take them quite a bit of time to come in. Big, huge trail, they have to come in. So they have to park out of Medina, waiting for the next day, then they'll come in. So he says to Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, we, the Khalifa, will go and offer the security. He's not getting anything, he's not getting paid by them. Is he getting paid? Not getting paid. The Khalifa personally is going to offer that security for that night. Alright, Istima brothers, they revive the Sunnat. They go and offer security. But security, other occasions as well, not only for the Istima, other ways also where we can offer the security, we have to offer it. Sometimes in a locality, someone is offering security for the homes. We need to appreciate this. As Umar Adinar did this, someone is doing it in the neighborhood, don't run him down. Don't run the person down. Offer our thanks, appreciation. Don't say now, the main work is to call people to masjid. What you are doing is secondary. But you couldn't do this, he is doing it, appreciate it. Now you run the person down, don't appreciate, it's not Islam. Islam is, he's doing, appreciate the person. I couldn't be doing this, he's doing it. He's doing some social work, he's doing some mayyat work, some kabristan work, he's doing something else. He's all contributing towards Islam, towards the upliftment of the Muslims. Can't we be thankful to the person? So Hazrat Umar says to Hazrat Abdul Rahman ibn Auf, lest we go out and offer the security for the night. So they go, they take turns. Some part Umar radiallahu anhu is taking security, whilst Abdul Rahman ibn Auf is engaged in namaz. And then they're swapping. One is in namaz, the other one is offering security. By the morning, Umar radiallahu anhu, he noticed that there was a child that was continuously crying. So he called his mother, that you aren't good. Your child was crying all the time. You're not taking good care of the child. How can you be such towards your child? Take good care of him that he doesn't cry. Now again, the Khalifa is feeling so much for the child, masoom child. Why was he crying the night? So the woman complained, no. I'm taking good care of my child. Then why is he crying? He's crying because I'm weaning him off. But why do you wean him off before time? So now because the Khalifa, now she doesn't know that she's talking to the Khalifa. The Khalifa has declared that the child that is weaned off will be entitled to an allowance. Only the child that is weaned off will be entitled to an allowance. Right? Now, I'm trying to wean him off so that he can become entitled to this allowance. That's why the child was crying. He wants the milk, but I'm just stopping him that he must be weaned off, then he can be entitled to that allowance. But Umar radiallahu anhu cried at that moment. He cried bitterly and he says, I don't know how many children I made them cry. I made this child innocent. Although his niyat was right. Niyat is now that they are weaned off, they need a little bit more food. So let me make an allowance for them. He said, no. He cried for that night, and then he says, I'm amending a law. I'm making an amendment to this law. Every child will get an allowance, whether it's weaned off or not weaned off, but I'm making a provision for every child. So you see this kindness, this is part of Islam. You can't strip it off, you can't rip it off from Islam. Forget who it is, whether it's a Muslim or a non-Muslim. Alright, the Muslim will deserve more, but even though it's a non-Muslim, we show him the kindness, that respect, that consideration, where we can forgive, where we can overlook. Don't you love that Allah Pak forgives you and be considerate towards you as well? You also like that. You also want Allah Pak to spoil us, to be considerate towards us, to be loving towards us, to overlook our mistakes and faults. we like that, then we overlook other people's faults as well. So this is the second teaching of Rasulullah SAW, At'imu at-ta'am. And the third teaching is Wasilul arham, and maintain good relationship, your family, folks, etc. Even though sometimes they are distancing you, they're cutting you off, they're not talking to you smoothly and respectfully, but you be respectful to them, you show love and kindness towards them, irrespective of what type of treatment they are showing. He is doing what he is wanting to do, but you do what your Nabi Sassam has desired. We are the slaves of Nabi Sassam. Our Nabi Sassam, he is instructing us, is he more important or this person more important? Nabi Sassam is more important. He says we must be kind. We must be good. So we will be good irrespective of the type of treatment we are receiving from him, but we will be good. So afshu salam, at'imu at-ta'am, wasilul arham, all about kindness. The first three commands, as he comes into Medina, all about kindness, goodness, consideration, respect towards people. And the last command, wasallu billayl wan-nasu niyam, and perform some tahajjud namaz while people are asleep, and perform some tahajjud, some two rakats or four rakats. But first three commands all about kindness. And in this Mubarak month, how easily we can perform all four. Can't eat, so at least we can make salam, isn't it? Iftar time, we can't feed. Can we feed also at iftar time? At'imu at-ta'am, afshu salam, at'imu at-ta'am, wasilul arham. Then we can't eat and all that. At least go and visit some friends, some brothers, meet them, one brother here, one cousin here, one relative that side. If he's living at a distance, it can't be phone him up. Can't be SMS him, I'm greeting you, month from Ramadan, I request your du'as. Can't we do this much? If it's your parents that are living at a distance, then every day you should make salam. Our parents are living at a distance, every day, morning or evening, then they'll wait for your salam. They'll wait for your call. And who knows the time that you call and you're getting one cash du'a from your parents in the Mubarak month of Ramadan. And you call on them. Or it was your uncle, your foy, your cha-cha, or whoever it was, but you called on him, and he said, you thought of me, of all people, you thought of me. So we call on people that we can't reach, they're living at a distance, someone living in Ladysmith, Arrowsmith, Cape Town, Johannesburg, or in another country, and we can't meet them so easily. So can't we just send an SMS, talk to them over the SMS or some way? Just what it means to that person, this person called me, he thought of me, he got my address, he got my particulars, and at least he had the decency to call me. Silul arham, so many ways to do sila rahim. It's such a beautiful thing, you're attracting the mercy of Allah Ta'ala. Just, the hadith says that you want barakat, right? You want barakat in your wealth. You want a long, good life. You want a healthy life, and you want barakat. Who doesn't want a healthy life? And who doesn't want barakat in his wealth? Everybody. Mulana, no more, everybody wants barakat, right? Everyone wants a good, enjoyable life. Then the gymming will tell you something, the health specialist will tell you something, but the hadith says, silul arham. Then what the way forward is, be good to your family, folks, whatever, irrespective of their treatment, you be good. So you're getting an enjoyable life, and number two, you're getting barakat in your life. You're getting barakat and you're getting an enjoyable life. Guaranteed by Nabi Sallallahu. Do it for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, for no other reason. Just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Now don't let it be now that we went there and with the relative now, and then we got a change of intention, right? We're there. But you know what? By the way, I thought of you, you know, I got a good car, you know. I forget that now. Forget a good car and all that. Don't sell your product at that time. Don't do business. Just do for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Because that person will begin to become suspicious. Okay, this person had some agenda. Yeah. He didn't come just to meet me. He came for some other agenda. He showed kindness, but that kindness was for his own pockets. So don't mix your intention. Meet that person only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And then the last command is, whilst people are asleep, then perform the tahajjud. And Ramadan, I see how easily all these four can be achieved. Two rakats, four rakats, here or at home, wherever. And just a few rakats. All this accumulates, the little chance you've got. We don't hesitate. Don't think now it's only two rakats. Either two rakats namaz here, if you think you're going to be too lazy when you reach home. Just either two rakat namaz, at least you read something, you're conforming to this hadith. Sallu bil layl wa nasu niyam. Whilst people are asleep, you're two rakats, four rakats. All these things add up. Don't postpone it. See? Our problem is sometimes we want to do it, but we postpone it. Then when you postpone it, when the time comes, then we feel too lazy. It's, you know, tomorrow I'll start off. Then tomorrow never comes. You've got a chance, perform the two rakat namaz. Maybe the two rakat is your jannat. You've got it. You didn't hesitate, you didn't delay the thing, you didn't procrastinate. You perform the two rakats. Maybe you get a chance after, maybe you don't get a chance. We're talking of that person. Mawlana went and met him, you know. He was in the last degree cancer, right? So Mawlana spoke to him and he accepted Islam readily. Readily, the smile on his face. And the next day, he read the kalima and he passed away. One day Musliman, one day. But that kindness, that love, visiting the person, some only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. So this hadith concludes, تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ بِسَلَامٍ. You'll do these four deeds, and you're getting into Jannat easily. You had a good death, right? You know, all our efforts, the whole effort that we make, from the time of birth right till the end, it's aimed at the fact that we must culminate in a beautiful, easy, enjoyable way, isn't it? Anything else? Whatever efforts you made, you spend money, do farming, agriculture, everything we did, right? But at the end, what do we want? What do we want? We want to culminate beauty, ease, and enjoyment. So do this for, and then you culminate, and you're ending up with enjoyment. تَدْخُلُوا جَنَّةَ رَبِّكُمْ بِسَلَامٍ. Peacefully, comfortably, enjoyably. You meeting Allah Ta'ala, Allah Pak is pleased. You are pleased. He's smiling and you are smiling. What a great, enjoyable moment. Irji'i ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiya. You are being told, you instructed, meet your Rabb. Come. Allah Pak is happy with you, man. Why are you crying now? Allah Pak is happy with you. And you are also happy to meet him. So this is the culmination of all our efforts, that we end up in a beautiful way. And such a beautiful, easy prescription Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has given. Greet people. In other words, when you're going to be greeting people, then you'll not have any malice in your heart. You won't have ill feeling, because you're wishing well. Salam is wishing well. So you're going to continue making salam, then you'll always wish well. So there will be no malice in your heart. Then to endorse your wishing, and to strengthen it, take it to another level, you'll feed also. Even if you had malice or he had malice, say, you know, I can't have malice, man. I'm eating all the burgers from him and whatever else, chocolates and everything else. How can I have some malice for him? He'll feel good for you. Even if he had any ill feeling, but now you feel good. Or you took that chocolate and put it in his mouth. But then what happened? Huh? Then you really want him. You capsize the person, took that chocolate and put it in his mouth. Huh? He'll say, even my wife doesn't do this for me. How nice he'll feel. See, Islam got so many methods of just winning the person's heart. Second deed, so no malice in the heart, no dirt, we've got clean hearts. And we're feeding people only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. Right? It doesn't have to be a poor person, it can be a wealthy person also you're feeding him. Feeding here doesn't refer only to a poor person, any person, wealthy, poor, anybody. But it's that feeling, it's that love that you are sharing. And then you're joining people for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, meeting, joining only for the sake of Allah Ta'ala. And then whilst people are asleep, then you are engaged with Allah Ta'ala. If you can't do much, then at least two rakats. Just read two rakats. How long will it take you? Not even 3 minutes. 3 minutes and you are cashing in. So for all that Allah Ta'ala is saying, I'm giving you Jannat, but with enjoyment, with happiness, you're entering peacefully. I am pleased with you and you are pleased with us. Inshallah, as volunteer, at least we'll try and do this thing. Allah Akbar.